That makes it look like we do a lot of stuff, doesn't it? It's amazing. I love it. I love every year when we can look back and just see the images, and sometimes we forget of all the things that happen in 12 months and all the baptisms and all the life change and the camps that our kids go on and the fun events and the people we meet in the community who we hope will eventually meet Jesus. And that's really what it's about. And so today, if you are a guest, this is a unique day. This is a different kind of day. And I actually always think it's great if you are new to Seacoast, you're checking out, looking for a new church, maybe you're new to the area or you're exploring faith, I always find like this is a fun day to come because you get to hear about what we want to be about as a church and where it's rooted in Scripture. And so this is what we call our Vision Sunday, and it technically, at the very end, is a business meeting, which sounds really exciting, doesn't it? When you say that, but here's the thing. There's two sides of that. The one side of it is because we're an incorporated organization with bylaws, we have one time a year where we have to meet as an annual meeting and approve a budget. So that's part of it. But it's beyond that. About 5 years ago, we stopped, maybe even longer, we stopped doing a meeting after church. We said, what if we used our services? Because we want more people to hear, but also, isn't it worshipful? It's actually an act of worship for us to look at something as granular as finances. Now, you might think, well, how is that worshipful? Because we believe that God provides for what he orders. If he asks us to do something and leads us, that he always provides. And he provides through you and through me. The idea of people say, well, God doesn't, if God wants to do it, he doesn't need my money. Well, he can do anything with or without our finances and without our, with or without our contributions of our time, of our volunteering. He can somehow do things, but you know what? He invites us to be a part of it because it's for our good that we get to experience the life that he has created. And so that's what today's about. It's about saying, what is this church about and what does God want to do with us? And so we, as a church, you're going to hear some things you've heard before, but we say this, why do we exist as a church? We exist to help people discover life in Jesus and to learn to walk in his ways or to learn to follow him. That's why we exist. Now, I think most Bible-believing churches who believe in Jesus have similar purpose for existing, something along these lines. And it's rooted in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Those of you who are familiar with the faith, you'd be familiar with this. Jesus' final instructions to his disciples said this, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to follow all that I have commanded, baptizing them, and teaching them to follow all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So this is in Scripture called the Great Commission that Jesus gives to the church. And he says, this is what I want you to do as my followers, to go to all the nations and make disciples, to help people discover life in Jesus and to learn to walk in his ways. And so that's what we want to do. Now, when you think of what is a church is a few things. It's not a building. It's a gathering of people. So when Jesus instructs his church to do this, he's instructing a gathering of people. Now, we also, the way we think of church is there is a local gathering. Seacoast is one of many churches who love Jesus and follow Jesus. Even this last week, on Wednesday, I had lunch with a group of pastors, I think there's about 100 of us, from North San Diego County. We gathered quarterly and to worship together and to have lunch together and just to say, we are in this together, which I love because there are churches in our own city and throughout the county that love Jesus and are teaching about Jesus and they're doing amazing things and we are for them. It's not about us in our own little gathering getting, keeping it all to ourselves. It's about the kingdom of God expanding. But there are local churches, and we are one of many. And we stand united with others in this area. But it's a gathering of people. The church is a continuation of the call to represent God's ways to the world. See, from the very beginning of Scripture, God called a people in this case, it started through a person named Abraham, and then through his descendants became the nation of Israel. And the whole purpose was that God would have a gathering of people who understood his ways of how to live the way we were designed. And that was to be a witness and a blessing to the rest of the world. And the church is a continuation of that call. So we are called to represent God's image and his character to the ends of the earth. And the church is not, the other thing is, the church is not just for its own members. The church is for the benefit of others. So when Jesus called us and said, follow me, be as my follow, as my disciples, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them to walk in my ways. It is to be an expanding kingdom. And that's why we do what we do. Now again, I hope and I believe that most churches have some sort of belief in this, that they want to follow these things, that this is what they are about. These are the things we focus on as a church, helping people meet Jesus and walk in his ways. And here's the thing. We never stop learning to walk in Jesus' ways. Would you agree with me on that? There are different times in life. My wife and I are entering a stage where our kids are getting older, and we're starting to, we have times when we don't know where they are because they're that age, you know, they just, we have become the Charlie Brown parents I talked about last week if you were here, and that's just part of growing up, but we're starting to think, what happens when it's just us and our dog in our house? Like, what is that going to look like other than it will be cleaner and we won't spend as much on food? But what will that look like? And what does it mean to walk with Jesus in that new phase of life? So we are going to learn to walk in his ways eventually as empty nesters, which I'm pretty sure the nest refills these days at some point, but maybe not. Okay, so in my house, it probably will. But then we will hopefully be empty nesters again. But what does that look like? So we have two phrases that we want to talk about for next year that we've thought about as a staff to say, this is, if we were to say, what does next year look like to apply this idea? And it's really simple phrases. Here's the first one. This year, we want our church to be about reaching people. We want to reach people. Can you remember that? Everyone, let's say that. Reach people. And when we say that, we mean reach people for Jesus. We want them to meet Jesus, to discover life in Christ. And that's one, and that might, you think, of course we want to do that, Ryan. But really, what if we really, really focused on that? What if every Sunday morning when you showed up, you came with the mentality to say, there's probably someone here today who maybe doesn't know Jesus and they're walking on our campus for whatever reason. Maybe there's someone who lives in your neighborhood who could use the hope of Jesus. And what if our mentality was, we want people to meet Jesus? And the reason we do isn't just because Jesus told us to do this, it's because we actually believe that a life with Christ is the best way to live. Anyone with me on that? That this is where we find hope, where we find a meaning in life, we have purpose, and we actually find that when we walk in Jesus' ways, when we're transformed by his Spirit, that our relationships are different. And the way we interact with other people are different. And we have this ability to then walk in blessing and in confidence. And it's just, God has designed the world in a certain way, and he's designed people in his image, and the best way to live is a life with Christ. And if it's best for me, I think it's best for you, and it's best for your friends and your neighbors. It's best for the guys that I play basketball with each week. In fact, they really need Jesus. So, you know what? When I play basketball with them, my mentality is, these are my friends that I want to beat right now, but I also can't wait for them to meet Jesus. So we want to reach people. And I know some of you are like super evangelists. You talk to people. There are people in our church who can go up to anyone and just say, oh, honey, you need Jesus. And they're like, okay, you're right, I do. And there's others of you who have it all mapped out. You have all the logical reasons. You can refute any argument, and everyone looks at you like, no, whatever you are selling, I don't want. It's just, we have different gifts and skills. But none of us are free from the call to help reach people. Now we're going to do it different ways. Some of you, maybe all you can do is to invite someone to a gathering at the church. You say, hey, I'm not ready for anything, but I can say, hey, do you want to come with me to this? Will you come with me to an Easter gathering and sit with me this year? Would you come with me to the barbecue we're doing and invite people? Maybe that's your first step. But if we have the mentality that says we want to reach people, then that's the lens in which we look at. And so every time we gather, we're also, that's why we care about how we treat one another. It's a testimony of the community of God. So two phrases, reach people. The second phrase we're using is called this, forward movement. Meaning, we believe that as we learn to walk in Jesus' ways, we want to have movement in our discipleship, that we are on what we call a discipleship path. Now, we're all on a discipleship path. We're going to talk more about it in just a moment. And really, just high level, it's this. We all move from not knowing Jesus at some point. Some of you, that was when you were born, and by week one, you met Jesus, you were baptized, you know, whatever. So some of you, it happened very early in life, others much later. But we all move from a time where we're not following Jesus. We become a believer, and then on that path, hopefully we become a growing believer. A growing believer is learning to have personal study and worship of God and corporate worship of God, where we learn to use our gifts and service. We learn to trust God with areas of our lives that is counterintuitive. And eventually, we want to become disciple makers, that we're reproducing ourselves. That's the path. Now, discipleship's never linear. It is, we jump all around. We take two steps forward, three back. We get that. But so, as a church, we're going to challenge you, and we're going to talk about this summer, is we want to challenge you to take a step of faith, forward movement in your discipleship. And you'd say, well, I already know everything there is about following Jesus. That's amazing. And you perfectly apply it. Guess where your step is? To reproduce yourself by multiplying disciples. Take what you know to teach others. So reach people, say it with me, reach people, and forward movement. That's what we want to be about. So we're going to clarify what it means to take steps on the path and invite you to take steps this year. We want to make it super clear and super easy. So what do we do this year? We are going to create spaces and places where this can happen. We talk a lot about three big areas to do this. One is that we want to be a home for those who are lost and wandering in their faith. We want to be a church where if you are looking or returning to faith, we want to be a place for that. You might say, well, Ryan, if we do that well, we might not have a perfect church anymore because it's perfect now. But if we do this well and we're a home for the lost and wandering, then it might not be perfect anymore. Well, you know what Jesus said? He said this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 12. He said, when Jesus heard what people were saying, he said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Now, go learn what this means. I desire compassion rather than sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners. Jesus was responding to Pharisees who were saying, hey, Jesus, why are you spending time with people who don't know you? Why are you reaching out to those instead of hanging out with religious people? Why are you hanging out with sinners? And Jesus said, because compassion as a follower of me is more important, because I came for the sick, not the healthy. So that's what Jesus does. So we want to be that place. Now, you'll see a lot of things that we do throughout the year to make that possible, but we want to introduce you to one new concept this year that is a way of doing that, that bridges the gap between reaching people and discipleship. I want to invite up John and Susan Salucci to come up forward. And one new thing that we're doing this year for outreach and discipleship is we are taking the next step in our lay counseling ministry. And both John and Susan, if you haven't met them yet, this is John and Susan Salucci. They've been with us for about 3 years at the church, I think, something like that, and loved having them here. And they both are involved in life coaching and counseling, and John is on our staff helping with pastoral care. And this year, we'll be introducing some new concepts with counseling, or lay counseling ministry. So can you tell us just, what does that mean?
Sure. Am I on? Yes, I am.
You are.
Yeah, lay counseling. Simple concept, I think. Pastor, therapist, and author Peter Scazzaro says that to the degree that we are unable to understand our emotions, we will be limited, we will be impaired in fully understanding God, others, and ourselves. And so that's a tough concept to hear, especially as we tumble that in our brains. But I think here at Seacoast, we have been committed to stepping into people's pain, right? And we believe that we can do that more fully in a concerted effort to counsel with those that are in seasons of pain. And so, the thought would be for educated counselors to meet with individuals, with couples, with families, and kind of peel things apart, peel the onion, and just see what we can find. Provide tools, provide resources, so that we can better understand ourselves, and in so understanding our community, understanding and loving God fully.
That's great. Yeah, thank you for that. And so the concept of what we're doing is we want to provide affordable and low-cost lay counseling. So this is not licensed professional therapy, but it is trained people. So it is professional, but they'll be training up others to do that here at the church. So and when we can get healthy emotionally, we can be healthy spiritually. So we love that. Tell us a little bit about what does that look like or what...
Thanks. I remember when I was training to be a counselor a million years ago, one of my mentors said, don't be a Christian counselor, be a counselor who happens to be a Christian. And I think what that means for me is having, not only a theoretical framework, but that I'm using my gifts from the Lord too. And we're complicated, aren't we? We have bodies that hurt, and we have souls that hurt, and we have relationship issues, and we might have addictions, and we might have ways of behaving that we're kind of blind to. And so when we can get vulnerable and kind of welcome someone in and say, tell me about that, how does that hurt? And what are the ways that you feel like you could grow? And maybe can I give you some feedback? And people become open to that. All of a sudden, their spirits begin to heal too. And then we can really blossom in our relationship with God because we clear away that wreckage, mm-hmm. And we have more sunlight coming through. So I feel excited to walk alongside people in that way. And it's been such a huge benefit for me personally too.
That's great. Well, I appreciate both of you and the number of people you've already met with in our community and just in this community. And we really appreciate your hearts. And this is, we believe, God-given that you landed here and that this is the next thing that he's always so, just so compassionate. I love it. Just wanting to see people grow. And I've seen that in you. And so this year, we are, one of the ways that you can help is if you are a trained counselor and no longer licensed and want to use that for the ministry, let John know, because as he builds that team. And then there'll be opportunities for other things like bringing in grief share into the church, and there's premarital counseling where you don't need to be a licensed or trained counselor for things like that. So if you're interested in that, please let John and Susan know, and you'll hear a lot more about it. And then also, we want you to know that this is something we have for you. If you are stuck and it doesn't, there's certain issues, obviously we'll refer on, but there's a lot of things that we just need someone maybe you need to meet with someone a few times. We want to love you in that way because it's about forward movement. So would you join me as I pray over the Saluches and this lay counseling ministry? God, we thank you so much for the blessing that they are to this church, but I thank you, Lord, that you are inviting us, we believe, into a new chapter as a church of really leaning into pain and helping people grow. And it's for those in our congregation. And Lord, there is a world in hurt right now. And if people can meet you because they came to get something else sorted out, and in the process, they find that you are the source of hope and strength and all these things. God, we ask that you bless the ministry in that way this year. So thank you for them. We ask that you lead us, and we don't want you to bless our plans. We want to follow your plans, knowing that that is what is blessed. And so help us to walk in faith. We thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen. All right. Let's thank John and Susan for being a part of this. And I'm going to invite Steve. Steve's going to come on up and talk about the next part of forward movement.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you. Thank you, John and Susan. So good to be with you this morning. Ryan was mentioning a little bit about discipleship pathway, and that's what we're going to chat about just here for a second. And you may be thinking in your mind a couple different things, and so I just want to bring those down a little bit and acknowledge them. One is you may be thinking, okay, discipleship. If you speak Christian a little bit, you may have a construct for that. Others of you, it's kind of like, I don't really know. It sounds very churchy, to be honest with you. And so we just want to talk a little bit about what that means, because it's not really churchy. In fact, it's actually very kind of right on the ground. The word that Ryan just mentioned here, where Jesus said, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age, in Matthew 28. Now, the word that Jesus used there, make disciples, right, is where we get discipleship pathway. Now, disciple and make a disciple means make a learner. That's what a disciple is. It comes from a word in the Greek New Testament that the verb means to learn. And so the noun means to be a learner. Okay, that kind of, at least it helps people like me to know that. It means to be a disciple of Jesus means to be a learner. An apprentice is what some people kind of press the metaphor. It just means to be one who is learning from Jesus. Now, here's the thing. I just got together the last couple of days with guys that I literally went to college with. So now we're a lot of years, okay, because I'm ancient of days. I mean, many, many, many decades kind of thing, okay? And we're all grandparents and all that kind of stuff. And in that discipleship journey, in that learner aspect, we realize that we've kind of been walking this pathway as learners under the Lord for many, many, many years. And as Ryan mentioned, we are also looking forward to all kinds of new places that we are learning in Him as well. So as we talk about a discipleship pathway, we're talking about being learners from Jesus in every dimension of our lives. That's kind of the broad strokes of why. Now, when we talk about discipleship pathway, what we're inviting each other into is something that creates clear next steps, because, okay, we get the concept, we're all learners, we're learning in every season and dimension of life. Yes, get the concept, but like where or how or when, right? And so that's part of the pathway aspect. Now, to go conceptual before I go very literal here, think with me here for a second about how important a pathway is in different aspects of life. Debbie and I lived for 10 years in Northern California, kind of on the outskirts of Yosemite National Park. Now, the outskirts part was kind of fun because there were lots of different places in the place that we lived that were basically locals-only places. So you would hear someone communicating this incredible thing. Here's this diving hole. Here's God's bath. Here is this particular river. If you do this hike, the mountain biking is unbelievable if you go around here. But here's the locals only factor. How do you get there? Okay, so when you crest this hill 7 miles, about 7 miles east on the 108, when you crest this hill, you're going to see a little dirt path. Don't take that path. Take the second path that's just past it, okay? Now, when you go in there, you're going to come, and there's actually a Forest Service gate, okay? So don't park there. You'll get ticketed. But if you go just a little bit beyond it, okay, then park right there. And then have you been there? Like, that's the locals only thing. Here's the contrast, okay? Right, kind of right in the midst of two. I think we have the slide here. This is the contrast. This is what Yosemite does, right? It creates a pathway. And so you can look at this at a glance. That's just all kinds of trails in Yosemite National Park. Or you can look at it in the literal thing. And then what the drop-down is, and you know this if you've been to Yosemite, the drop-down is they will give you the severity and length of the hike, right? They'll give you a trail or a pathway that helps you instantly do the math of, oh, this is the step for me, right? I'm at Yosemite National Park. I'm of a certain fitness level. I would really like to see some things, and so where can I do that, right? And so that will become clear when you see something like this. This is what we want to do. This is why when we want to create a pathway so that there's that aspect of clear next steps for all of us as we walk in this journey. So Ryan has talked about that, for example, in reach people. And what was the second thing? I can't remember. Excellent. Way to go. Yeah. Forward movement. So we want to build steps or whatever in the process. And you'll hear more about the details of those in the coming weeks. But we want to build steps for people that are new to Seacoast. So we're creating something called Discover Seacoast. It's not a new idea. It's not a new idea at Seacoast. It's just an opportunity for people who are new. We want to create something for people who are new to Jesus. We talk oftentimes about, I'm not sure, relationship with Jesus, I'm not really, well, we want to create something called Discover Jesus. We want to create steps in a process for people who want to begin to engage and to say, hey, I would really like to be a part of a journey with other people, or I find my calling and purpose and then move into that. And that's something called Rooted that we've done for years here in there. But that's a step in a process. And off we go into the journey of where it is that we are going on this discipleship, in this discipleship pathway. But our vision for creating a discipleship pathway is clear next steps. Now, here's the thing that you're going to be hearing a lot as we kind of process this and refine our language. This is our desire. We want to ask each other as graciously but as faith-filledly as possible for years to come, but definitely this next year. What's your next move? Okay? Your next move is not my next move, and my next move is not your next move, right? But what's your next move? What's the forward movement piece? What are the opportunities? Not that you're checking off boxes in there, but where is it that God is moving in your life, in your discipleship journey, so that you are beginning that intentional next step? I'm moving with intentionality in my relationship with God toward what it is that I think God wants me to do. I mentioned that I just got together with these guys that, okay, I'll just out myself here. I've known them for north of 40 years, right? That's how old, I'm ancient of days. I just mentioned that, okay, right? College buddies. So we literally spent a day and a half talking about what's our next move. We're all in ministry, we're all doing that stuff, but what's our next move in the next season, in the next phase, and what is it that God is doing in our life? In other words, for guys that I've known for 40 years that have faithfully followed Jesus and are grandparents, we're still asking the same fundamental question. How is it that we, as Jesus followers, as disciples, as learners at his feet, how are we moving into this grand and glorious process? Now, we have some really fun, exciting opportunities that we're excited about as steps in this journey together. And one of the ones that I'm very excited about is something that is coming up this summer. And I will be really honest with you, I'm excited about it for a whole bunch of different reasons, but I might be most excited about it because of who the people are who are leading it. And so I want to introduce you. You may already know them, but Chloe and Gavin Leitner are going to be leading our team with something called Summer at Seacoast. And so I'm going to invite them up. They're going to grab the microphone, and they're going to tell us a little bit about what's going on with that.
Hello.
And then I will pray it up. Morning, you guys.
Morning, Steve. Thanks for having us. All right. Good morning, Seacoast. I'm Gavin, and this is Chloe. We're the Leitners, and we've been coming to Seacoast since 2015, 2017, and we actually met here, so we're really excited about that. And we're really excited about what Steve and Debbie have invited us and the Molnars into leading this summer, and it's called Summer Nights. And something we've loved about Seacoast over the years is the people that we have here and their heart for learning about Christ. And that happens in a lot of different ways. It happens here on Sunday as a whole gathering, and then in our small groups, in our Sunday schools, and all sorts of different things. But one of the gems of Seacoast is the times that we're all together in the plaza. You know, that magic 15 minutes between services when we're overlapping.
That's a good phrase, isn't it?
Yeah, or the Christmas sing, or the 4th of July at the beach. So we want to create some more space for that, where all of our people can come together and learn about Christ together. No matter where you're at on that discipleship pathway, we can come and we can connect together. And so that's kind of some of the concept and heart behind Summer Nights. where it's going to be a midweek gathering. Maybe while some of the small groups are pausing for the summer or others are pausing, and we're going to come together and we're actually going to learn about some great content that Steve's picked out for us. And it's going through what's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's a book by John Mark Comer, and we're going to break this down into a handful of weeks to learn how we can model some spiritual practices that Christ modeled for us in the Bible. And these things are in contrast to what we see in society. They're things like silence, solitude, Sabbath, slowing, simplicity. I'm listening to this book as I'm speeding because I'm late for church, and I'm just like so convicted, right? And it's really brought me peace to like try to model some of these things out, and I'm really excited to be able to do that as a whole church body, to understand how we can learn these practices of Christ and how that can be a distinct part of our testimony and how we walk through life here in Encinitas. But Chloe, give us some of the particulars here.
I brought my notes just in case. Just as Gavin was saying, we're going to go through The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and it's going to be neat. We're going to start gathering, and we'll watch about a 10-minute video message. From there, we'll have tailored discussion specific to Seacoast in the Encinitas life, how that applies to us. And then we'll break out into table discussion, where we'll have time to connect in a smaller setting, not specifically with your small group, but connect as a church to process these topics. This will be Wednesday evenings, so middle of the week, 6:30 to 8 p.m. We're going for 5 weeks. It'll start June 26th through July 24th, so midsummer. If you can't make every week, that's okay. Come to as many as you can. Like we said, most small groups might be pausing right now, so if you're a small group leader, this gives you a little bit of a break. But also, childcare will be provided for all ages. So that's a really great service our volunteers are doing, so everyone can join. Our ask is, if this speaks to you, if you're looking for a way to serve this summer, we'd love to have you as a table leader. Really easy, just talk to one of us after the service. It's not too hard. We're gonna have the questions pretty much laid out for you already. And number two, come on out. We're really excited. Invite your friends, family, people that come to Seacoast or not. This is going to be a great event this summer. We'll see you there.
Okay, are these not the funnest people in the world? Anyway, I'm sorry about that. I just was looking for some reason to hang out more with them or whatever. Hey, let's do something this summer. So let's pray for this or whatever. Let's pray for these guys as they lead too. Father, thank you so much for Chloe and for Gavin. Thank you much for Johnny and Kale. So much for Johnny and Kale. And we're so grateful to be able to serve together. And we're excited about being together in a whole bunch of different ways. In particular, as we gather together this summer. We're excited about the content and the substance of it. We're excited about the content or the context of it, Lord, where we get to be together and kind of blur the lines and enjoy each other's company and enjoy that magical 15 minutes on the plaza for 5 consecutive Wednesday nights. And I pray your blessing on them as they lead, Lord. And I pray your blessing on us as a church as we really engage with you and learn how to follow you even when we're speeding to church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Give these guys a hand. Thanks. Ryan.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's going to be great. I'm looking forward to being a part of that this summer and just going to participate. I'm looking forward to it. I listened to that book at 1.5 times speed, and it was really good. True story. But anyway... one thing I love, if you were here last week, maybe you saw that we had this intergenerational panel up here and we talked about faith, and that's what this summer nights are. And so it'll be great to interact with each other. And the kids program is going to be a great program as well for the kids all summer long on Wednesday nights. It'll be fun. As we get to the last segment, so when we talk about reach people and forward movement, many of you in here, maybe you can remember some time in your life where somebody maybe introduced you to Jesus, maybe it was a parent, maybe a friend, maybe someone invited you to church. I grew up going to church, but in high school was the first time I had a friend invite me to a youth event. And I remember looking around thinking, I didn't know you could laugh and smile in a church. And I'm not even kidding. I thought it was weird. I was like, why are you guys having fun? You're in church. God's watching. Be careful. And it was the beginning of a journey that God used through his Spirit to call me to be his disciple. And so we have little ways that we can do that in people's lives. And one of the things we talk about as a church of not only do we want to reach people forward movement, or we want to create a place where people can be reached. We want to take steps in our faith. And one of the ways then we talk about what it means, what happens to us, is we're transformed inwardly to live outwardly. And we have this phrase, we say we're a movement of people that are a blessing to the neighborhoods in which we live, work, and play. And so we want to take everything that we're learning and growing, and then as we live, we want to be a blessing. We do that individually, and we do that corporately. Individually, it's how you treat your neighbors and your barista and all the people in your lives. And then corporately, this is where we're involved, and a big portion of our budget is designated to organizational ways that we bless our community. We continue our partnership with Sunset High School, which is right down the street, with the Community Resource Center in downtown Encinitas. We have a partnership with Birth Choice that is helping mostly its teenage unwanted pregnancies. So mentorship, our high school group, a lot of the girls actually are doing small things like going in and washing and folding clothes and bedding and taking donations and helping these mothers. It's just really cool, that partnership there. We also support quite a few missionaries. In fact, of our local and our regional and global outreach, we put 15% of all the offering, your general donations, go towards things outside our walls, of trying to be outward facing, which is a large percentage. But we want to be a church that's a blessing to a community. It's based on this. And Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. Israel was living in exile. They're living in Babylon. They're living in a place where people didn't believe. And God told them this. He said, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper." In other words, where I have placed you, be a blessing. And we are kind of living in Babylon now as Christians. We live in a culture that doesn't believe what we believe, doesn't have the values we have, and instead of calling down curses on them, God calls us to be a blessing. And the hope is that more and more will meet him through that. So we do that individually, and then we do that corporately. One new partnership we want to let you know about this year, which is really fun, is our global team has partnered with this organization called Bridge Builders. It's right here in San Diego, actually in El Cajon, and it's ministry to refugee communities, and in particular, the Afghan refugee community, which is actually pretty large here in San Diego. And from the events the last couple years, there was a big influx of Afghan refugees. And this ministry specifically is helping these families transition and hoping to introduce them to Jesus. This is from a community, from a country where faith in Jesus is outlawed and where it's not accepted. So here we have an opportunity to love people and introduce them to Jesus. In fact, this summer on July 7th, you're gonna meet one of those families. They're gonna be here, share their story, and you're gonna hear more about that. And we're really excited to partner with that new ministry. Hopefully at the end of this summer, the goal is that we will do a church-wide project to help those kids get ready for school in the fall, backpacks and things like that, of the refugee community. That's because we are blessed to be a blessing. And that's why we do what we do. And so, you're going to hear so much. We could go on for 2 hours. We're not going to. Don't worry. There's a lot that goes into what you give. But what we want you to hear today is that we work hard to be faithful with your generosity, with your gifts, and with your time. One of the things, what's your move? Some of you, your move might be to join in and serve somewhere in the church. We could use that. One of your move might be to start trusting God with your finances. But we want to tell you, we want to be very thoughtful in how we handle that. And we want to just allow God to move through your finances, through your service, in a way that is faith-filled and also very wise. And so that's what we try to do. Before we finish our time here, there's two things left. We want to show you an update from one of your missionaries that you support over in the DR Congo. So you're going to hear from this missionary, and then our chairman of the elder board, Max Villalobos, is going to come up and tell you what next steps are with the budget, and we'll end with a song. So take a look at the screen, and you hear from one of our supported missionaries where your finances go to take care of the Kinshasa in DR Congo.
Good morning, Seacoast. I am Apple Phillips with our global outreach team, and I'm here with Nubako and Claudine Salenga, Seacoast missionaries in Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of Congo, a city of 15 million people. Nubako, would you tell us a little bit about Follow Me Ministries?
Thank you, Apple. Follow Me Ministry glorify God by empowering inactive and needed young boys in the city of Kinshasa by improving their social and economical situation through discipleship, literacy, and offering quality apprenticeship in the tribe. Currently, we have over 60 Center to Follow Me. Thank you very much for your investment in this ministry. Because of your contribution, many boys in the city of Kinshasa are being transformed and has accepted Jesus as their Lord and a Savior. Thank you.
Thank you, Nubako. And Claudine, you began Tabitha Ministries in your home in 2013 to help girls who had no future.
Yeah.
Tell us something about Tabitha Ministries.
Thank you, Apple. Tabitha Ministry is discipleship young women through vocation training like sewing, cooking, cosmetology, and literacy. We partnership with different church who believe in God, in Son and Holy Spirit. And this church give us two people. One people in charge of skills and one people in charge of discipleship. And after 9 months for school, and 3 months for internship, the girl graduates and go for to work. Now we have 219 centers. I have one store here of Evody. Evody have physical problem. She use wheelchair. She come to learn skill at Tabitha Center. And God transformed her life. She received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And now she knows to sew and taking care of his parents, even his physical health problem.
And Nubako, would you tell us about a pastor or church planter in DR Congo who works among unreached people groups?
Yes, I still been in contact with one pastor. His name is Alanda Gokulo Michel, since I was a director of Reach Africa. He's pastoring a local church in Batankusu in the Equator province in northwestern DRC. We're still working with him through his local church to reach Kikimes people. They are short people in the forest, Equator. Pastor Michel is very passionate to reach and engage people groups. We bought him a motorcycle, and you see him on the photo. He teach God's word for the Pikmin people and try to help them to read themselves the Bible. So pray for him.
Thank you, Nubako. Finally, how can we pray with for you?
Pray for us, because July 13 will be the graduation of Tabitha and the Follow Me Center. Pray especially for the students. Sometimes they are absent and emotional during the test. So, and some of them take away, even if they took time to learn skills. So pray for them that they can have a peace and receive the test to be graduated. Pray also for us, for God a provision, because the top graduated, we need to give them some gift so they can start their own business. So we need some big gift to pray for that. We are trusting your God. Thank you very much for your support.
Morning. Now we get to continue, and I'm going to ask for your assistance as we respond, how we continue to move forward with supporting God's ministry here and his call to us. Pastor Ryan covered the how do we continue to reach people. So that is still our number one target. And how do we continue to move forward with discipleship? And we do that as we approve our budget. So we have just a very brief budget that I will cover. And as I do that, I want to make sure that first we thank our finance committee. They've done a phenomenal job throughout the year. So please welcome, we welcome their service. And we continue to move forward with how do we support God's call to us. He asks us to continue to reach people for Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here for. So this budget that you see, it is exactly what we are doing this year. We project that we will end this year at a million, somewhere between a million 25, million 30. But you could surprise us. We still have a few weeks, and you could really lead that. And I'm not here to ask for money. I'm just saying that that could be a surprise. But we're projecting to budget next year exactly where we are running this year. And that's what we're asking for you to approve. So whether you're a regular attender or a member, there is a ballot. If you don't already have it, I know they're at the side tables and in the back. All we ask you is to affirm this budget. After you prayerfully do that, we're going to sing one last song, and then we ask you to do that. Also, that little ballot has a QR code, which will bring up our very nice kind of year in review and where we are focusing. There are also a few hard copies, but if you want to just pull it up, you could have that, take it with you. A great way to look at what we've accomplished together, but also where we're going for the next fiscal year. So please join me as I pray, and please don't forget to fill out the ballot. So, Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, what great things you are doing here at Seacoast, Father. What great work you are doing here in this community, Father. And ultimately, we just want to worship you, Lord. We want to thank you. We want to have gratitude for what you've accomplished. And we want to be grateful, Father, that you are using us to reach people for Christ right here in Encinitas, right here in San Diego, and across the world, Father. So we just give you the glory and the honor. And we ask for your blessing on this next year. So we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand together as we sing this final song.